Hello and welcome back to the Scream Addicts Podcast. I am Jenk. Sitting with me today are...
I'm Der Bryan.
I am Panzer Harrington.
Seth.
All right, and thanks so much for tuning in today, or whenever the hell you decide to listen to this.
Still be today.
It would be today to them. It might be tomorrow.
When will I listen to this?
Probably Saturday.
It's all timeless.
It seems to be Saturdays for you. So, we're doing what we've done the last 2 weeks. We've decided to choose a movie, bring it here to Melroom Studios, watch it in the screening room, and then we immediately podcast about it after and basically let people know what we thought about it. Week before last was Angst, which was Dave's choice. Last week, if you tuned into that, was Brian's choice.
I hope you didn't tune into that.
Why?
That was a rough podcast.
It was rough, yeah.
It was fun. Kind of.
It's true.
For you.
I like it.
It was not for you. Actually, the podcast was a blast compared to the movie, which was called Detention.
Because your eyes told a different story.
Yeah.
No, I enjoyed it. I actually listened to the podcast after and I was like, oh, that was a lot of fun. Like I couldn't feel my hate through the podcast, which was great.
Interesting.
So, yeah. I felt it.
Yeah. I could see it.
I felt every second of it.
I'm getting angry again just talking about Detention again. So let's go ahead and move on. Okay, this week was my choice and I chose a German film by a writer-director named Till Kleinert. It's called Der Samurai. It's a release from Artsploitation Films, a little boutique label here in the U.S. that releases little foreign gems.
Boutique things?
Yes. That sort of rides that line between, you know, art house
movies
and grindhouse. So they've released movies such as The Treatment, which is pretty great, a flick called Horsehead, a movie called 100 Eyes, which I haven't seen yet, and all their stuff is kind of... that I have seen is kind of interesting, but I think Their Samurai is probably my favorite. It's why
so
I chose it this evening.
They just release them. They don't actually make the films.
Right. They're just a distributor here.
Okay.
So. Yeah, although I will say that The Treatment is a fantastic serial killer flick, too. That is wonderfully icky. When you find out what the meaning of the title is, it'll run your week. So, but anyway, we did not choose The Treatment. We chose Der Samurai. And I'm curious, before we jump into this.
We didn't choose.
Yeah, we did.
You chose.
You chose it.
We chose that I would choose this week, this movie.
Your choice.
Yes. So, and my choice.
Not David's choice.
No, I guess not. Okay, so
I don't know why Angst was my choice. I didn't really choose it.
You brought it in.
I just brought it.
That's called choosing.
That's choosing.
No, but
when you sit at your house and you look at a shelf of movies,
yeah,
and you grab one and bring
and you
it,
you said that one.
That's
you,
called a choice.
You didn't bring any other movies.
But I didn't. You guys, you know, you just said, what about Angst? I said, I have that movie Angst.
I didn't know what Angst was.
Dave, that was the choice. That was the choice, Dave. That was the choice
you chose.
I guess so. I'm fully behind it.
Do you feel cheated?
No.
Do you want a different choice?
I enjoyed Angst.
Yeah, I did too. Der Angst.
Or there. Der Angst.
Okay. The great thing about me being able to choose this week is this episode is going to be different from the last two in that I actually enjoyed the fucking movie. We'll see how it shakes out with everybody else because for the last two podcasts, I've
Perfect.
Been the lone man out. So, you know
you
what?
You might be there again.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jinx played a wild card.
Now, okay. We'll get to that in a second.
I don't think he's going to be alone.
Now,
he
I'm going to go ahead and take a shot in the dark.
He knows how to get me there.
This is crazy.
Mm.
This is wild, but I think Dave and Brian are probably on the same page about a movie here.
Well, I just don't think
we
that...
We haven't discussed that.
Yeah. I don't know if samurai werewolf movies are my thing, really.
Okay.
How are they not your thing?
How could they not?
That's like asking if really, mac and cheese.
I don't really like werewolf movies, and I don't like samurai movies. So we just struck out here.
Those two are out.
There is a sword
John
in
Cop
the samurai.
Films?
I wouldn't say it's a samurai film.
Well, it's called The Samurai.
It's called.
No, it's not. Der Samurai. Do you speak German? I'm sorry, I forgot you spoke German.
Okay, guys, you know, just for the
yeah,
hell
yeah.
Give me a Gladiator for a second, all right? Thumbs up, thumbs down. What did you guys
what
think
that
of the
mean?
Movie overall?
Oh.
Thumbs up.
Like
thumbs
the
up.
Movie Gladiator where
I
they,
didn't know.
Where,
I was like,
they say he lives or
Joaquin
he dies.
Phoenix, me, Dave.
Okay.
Come on.
I will give zero gremlins to this movie.
Zero
gremlins.
Zero.
David, how many gremlins do you give this movie?
I don't know. I just wasn't interested in it. It was...
One gremlin is like, oh, God, I would murder this filmmaker's children.
What's zero, then?
Zero is Brian would erase the filmmaker from the planet, like existence, I would think. I would think five gremlins. We should go ahead and set up the scale. Five gremlins, you know, maybe a pat on the back.
Well,
good
Detention
job,
was like 100 gremlins.
Yeah.
So
it's probably about 10 for you guys. We're going to go ahead and cap it at 10. what's happening at.
Wait, you're telling me how many gremlins I'm giving it?
I allow this podcast only 10 gremlins.
Amongst us, or
how many elves do we get?
Yeah, we have to divide that.
No.
All right.
1 to 10 gremlins.
I can't even put it on the gremlin scale.
All right. How about 1 to 10 Goonies?
I didn't hate it. I just didn't think there was much there.
Okay, so this is gonna be like detention for you, as it was for me.
I don't know. I think you hated detention.
I didn't. I think you guys made me hate
it. Jinx, you gotta go back to the podcast. You hated detention.
I really didn't. Thinking about it, like, even, okay, you know what? I think it was just my disappointment at being the lone guy out again that sort of...
We tried to include you, Jinx. it's an inclusive movie.
That made me all defensive, but ultimately I did not hate detention. I kind of shrugged my way through it. I didn't start getting angry until I felt backed into a corner here in this podcasting room. But
no, you are in the corner.
Yeah, you're in the corner.
I am in the corner. So, but yeah,
Adrian.
What?
It's a Rocky joke. Adrian, you're in the corner. I've never seen Rocky.
No one puts baby in the corner.
No one puts baby in the corner. That's where I was.
I don't think Rocky in the corner.
Like when you go back to the corners of the ring in a boxing match.
Yeah. Big surprise! Scream Maddox has run off the fucking rails within the first 10 minutes.
That's a thing.
Well, we want to talk about Rocky.
So David gives.
No, we're here to talk about Kill Bill Volume 3.
Oh yeah, okay.
It sounds like Kill David Bill. Doesn't give it a thumbs up or thumbs down, but maybe like a flat hand palm.
Maybe you might be able to convince him.
Yeah, he's on the fence. That's true. Remember, I'm open minded. Talk to me.
I am not.
Tell me why I love this movie.
Oh, gosh.
I am not.
Seth, I am not. Seth, how about you?
I give it 2 gigantic gay thumbs up.
Wait, how many gremlins is that? Is there a gay gremlin?
9. Probably 9.
9 gremlins?
Man. Yeah, probably 9.
Wow. 9 gremlins.
I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I don't even know if I can give it 9 gremlins.
I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I'm like a firm 8, but,
all
right. You know.
Well, you're all straight, so you don't see the layers.
The layers? I think I saw the layers.
No.
All right, before we dive in, let's go ahead and tell listeners what this movie is about. Der Samurai focuses on
a
young German cop in a small sort of storybook village.
Jacob.
His name is Jacob, or Jakob.
Jakob, if you're German.
And we find out at the very beginning of the movie that he's basically been keeping a wolf at bay that's been prowling on the town's animals by basically feeding it raw meat and placing it just within the tree line in the forest. Rather than doing his job and trying to hunt the wolf and kill the wolf, he feeds and appeases the wolf. And he's kind of set up at the very beginning as being a nice guy, but a bit of a coward. And so as the story goes on, we see that the townspeople that he's sort of tasked with taking care of kind of look down on him a bit. You know, there's a group of bullies who, you know, he doesn't get along with. Even his own superior sort of disregards him as a human being. The only person who seems to actually kind of care for him is his grandmother, who he cares for in turn.
That's only whenever she knows.
Does not. She doesn't care about him. She falls asleep during a card game.
She's senile.
She does not
care.
She
is. She is. But, well, I guess that's his only connection, I think, to that you see in the very beginning. That's the way I took it anyway.
I saw no connection. There is no heart to this movie.
There is
no. Oh, I disagree. But so anyway, in the opening act, the police station receives a box addressed to, was it the Lonely Wolf?
The Lonely Wolf.
Care of Jakob. Mm-hmm. And so he delivers this thing, only to find that the place he's delivering it to is housing a, gosh, what would you call him? He is a...
A badass transvestite samurai.
He is the bride.
He is a badass transvestite samurai.
He is a bit of the bride from... Kill Bill.
And he's kind of, I swear to God, like, it's a striking image the first time you see him in the movie. He's muscular. He has long blonde hair. He's wearing a pink dress.
White. It's a white dress.
It's a white dress. Yeah. It's the same dress that he wears through all
Let's
of it.
Let's not get bogged down in the details.
It's absolutely a white dress, I promise you.
Am I colorblind?
I think you are.
I swear I thought it was a pink dress.
No, well, after all the blood's on it, then it kind of turns pink.
No, I mean even at the very beginning.
Well, at the beginning is
are my eyes fucked here?
Well,
it was a dark
this?
Movie.
That's why you like the movie.
What color is this?
That's red.
You're good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I thought it was a pink dress. I guess it's a white dress.
Yeah. Like a bride.
Yeah. You know, yeah,
like the bride in Kill Bill.
Warm collar scheme throughout. You know, the white just soaks it up. Whatever. I'm defending myself at this point.
All right.
The important thing isn't the color of the dress, but the fact that he's wearing a dress at all. Here and he
is that really important?
I think so. Well, I think so because one of the
it is.
So he delivers this package to this badass transvestite samurai.
Thank you.
And, well, why do we call it the samurai?
Samurai.
I don't.
Because when he gets a package, he opens the box, and inside is a friggin' samurai sword.
Katana. It's called a katana.
Samurai sword.
Yeah.
Call it's called Der Samurai.
Der samurai sword.
That's the only thing that could justify the title Der Samurai, I think. Right. So I'm gonna
well,
go
samurais use katanas. That's what a samurai
Der
is
katana.
Called.
Der katana.
All right.
Their main blade
all
is a
right.
Katana.
It's a katana. It's
thank
a katana.
You.
He removes a katana from the box. Yeah.
Without a scabbard.
It is.
Yes. And what follows is a chase through the woods surrounding this town and then eventually the town itself as poor Jakob attempts to bring down this crazy badass transvestite samurai.
This is all in one night, right?
This is all in one evening. Yeah. Yes. And the samurai, as it were, he basically lays waste to this town with Jakob on his heels. And as with the wolf, he doesn't really attempt to do his duty as an officer and bring this person down, but rather he follows at his heels for the most part. He rarely tries to apprehend the samurai.
Not until the samurai has the speech about them dancing. Does he get mad enough to actually hit him?
Yes, yeah. And that's interesting that we can go ahead and jump into that now because Jakob rarely shows any aggression except when there's any sort of hint that he might be gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it is worth noting. When I pitched this movie to, I don't think I pitched it at all to Dave and Brian. I think I told Seth that to me, this movie is, if not tonally, not at all, but thematically, this movie is essentially a Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2. It is mm-hmm. about a repressed gay man whose anger at having been repressed sort of manifests into a lethal entity who decides to take out all the people that, in a way, kind of keep him down.
Yeah.
So,
and not just the people there, but like the town itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, but yeah, I dug the hell out of the film. But oh god, Brian's quit on us. I saw him.
Oh
push
no!
The microphone
I felt away. Like it was really close to my
I
face.
I feel like he's going to get up
be,
and just
Brian.
Walk out.
I'm done. I'm just
you,
done.
You should be eating I'm your mic.
I am done.
Okay, yeah. But for the sake of just jumping right into spoilers. I don't know, guys. What did you, overall, how did the movie strike you? Dave, you didn't feel as the movie had much depth at all, whereas Seth, I think you saw more in it like I did, but please.
Well, I have a biased opinion of it anyway.
Okay.
Because it's a gay-themed film, I'm going to obviously see more, I think.
Okay.
Probably.
The themes aren't hidden in
they're
there.
Not at all.
No,
they're right
no,
on the surface.
No, yeah. Oh, I mean, they whack your... Yeah.
As soon as you see the guy in the dress, he looks so much like the cop, you say, oh, he's the
what?
Alter ego
yeah.
of the cop.
Yeah.
That,
I thought that was going to be
that?
The.
That's,
I thought that was going to be the reveal at the end. Yeah,
I know. So yeah. I was worried about that.
I was waiting for him just to take off like a wig and it's
no,
him.
No, I didn't think it was going to be a wig. I thought whenever...
God, I didn't think they looked alike at all. Oh,
I did. I thought that, and then I thought
really
at the end of it, when there's like the bonfire, and then like the and like everyone else comes, I thought they were gonna see him holding a sword,
absolutely,
with no one there,
right?
And it was him the whole time taking out his aggressions.
But it's not like that
didn't
was a
make
twist
it
at
that
the
way.
End either, because you know, I mean, it seems like at the very beginning, it's like this is his alter ego. This is very Fight Club-y in a way.
Yeah,
he's essentially chasing himself through the town.
That's exactly what I thought.
And when you get to the finale, you realize that that's not the case at all. That he is his own entity. That other people sort of acknowledge the fact that he exists. But here's the thing. Like, you know, I remember when The Babadook came out, I was listening to a podcast and somebody noted that, you know, at the end of spoiler alert for a movie that's a year and a half old. But with The Babadook, they were sort of disappointed they were disappointed that at the very end, The Babadook is just a figment of her imagination. And
right.
know, it's sort of a sign of her insanity, as it were. And I remember, maybe it was a Brett Easton Ellis podcast, but he noted, he was like, why couldn't it be both? Why couldn't it still exist within the world of the story and still represent all of those things, too?
Right.
And I feel that way about Der Samurai. It's like, yeah, he's still real, but he can still represent, he can still act as like a mirror to our hero.
Not even sure he's real.
You're not?
Nope.
Okay, tell me why.
But he was in the other cop car.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't it?
But then he breaks out, right? So you never know. he could be. I think he's just the other side of the cop.
Yeah. I buy that thematically. I'm not sure if I buy that plot wise.
It doesn't matter. You don't give a shit. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it doesn't. I mean, in the world of the movie, it doesn't matter whether he's a real entity or not.
Well, and the movie is not entirely concerned with things being real because it's very much a fairy tale Germantown.
Yeah, because he doesn't really interact with a lot of other people.
No. No, he doesn't at all.
He's chasing the thing.
And, of course,
alone.
The main character has those lapses in his imagination anyways.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
He does, but don't we have to accept at a certain point, like, if people are directly acknowledging?
Nope.
No? Nothing?
No.
It has to be entirely 100%.
It doesn't matter.
I think it does.
Why?
I do feel like it does. Like, you know, it's going back to the same thing with angst, you know, and whether or not everything was entirely, you know, from that guy's point of view, like, if the, were there any victims in the first place?
Yeah.
I feel like, as a viewer anyway, I need some sort of acknowledgement that it is all within the character's head, as it were. And with angst, I didn't get that, and I didn't get that with their samurai either. I mean, it's certainly a possibility, but by the end of it, and I would argue at the end of angst, and it's something that you guys didn't like, but when you have the final voiceover at the end basically spilling that he was taken away to prison, then to me that says that it did actually happen.
If if we're going to go with that theory, then just by the way that the this is the big spoiler, I guess, the way that the Wolfman died, like, that's such a cartoon death.
Well, I'm like, not saying that it was. It absolutely was. I mean, there's no way that...
Yeah, that's not a real thing.
No.
That doesn't happen. Fireworks don't go off when you get your head chopped off.
How many decapitations have you actually witnessed? You don't know.
That's true, you don't.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think we definitely share the lead character's point of view sometimes. I mean, he sees decapitated heads winking at him, smiling at him, speaking with him.
But does that mean
the entire film is meant to be?
If the guy in the dress is just in his mind and he actually is the guy in the dress, that makes me sad about this movie. It makes me feel sad about the plot, because that means that he was crazy the whole time, and while he overcame his anger about being gay, he still killed all of those people. It's not as uplifting as if it is a completely separate guy and he's fighting him on ideas and also in the real world, and by him killing him at the end of it, Jacob is still a good guy and overcomes and doesn't become that.
Right.
It's a happier ending to me if the guy is real and not in his mind.
But you can't rely on the main character.
No. That's definitely, yeah. But I mean,
I think the movie definitely toys with you in that way too, because, you know, both characters, both the lead and the villain, share the name Lonely Wolf. You know, various characters. Call them that. You know, when the samurai attacks his grandmother and then Jakob shows up to help her, she's trying to swat him away.
Yeah,
saying, get away from me.
And that's when I thought, well, maybe it all is in his mind because she's watched her grandson come in a dress and then attack her.
Okay, but if that's the case then, and then we trust that the grandmother is actually saying that, then don't we also have to trust Jakob's superior when he sees the samurai standing apart from him, when he acknowledges
that Jakob is squaring off with him. The end of the day, we're also seeing everything through Jakob's point of view anyway. I mean, we're experiencing the movie through him anyway. I'm still on your side of he's real,
right?
But I think it can be read totally the other way. But then, like David said, it doesn't matter which way that you read it as a plot, because the movie's not concerned with like a plot at all.
No.
The movie's more concerned with the broader themes it's trying to do. So the plot doesn't matter. It's just it's cool that, like, you can view it both ways, but it doesn't really matter which way you view it, because you'll still get the same
either way.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, I mean, going back to what your disappointment would have been thematically, would it stay the same? Because, you know, to me, the ending when he finally kills the samurai and he has the sword still and he's wielding it, to me, that almost said that all the violence that was sort of born from his repression, I think, is what he takes down. I don't think he's killing the gay side of himself. I think he's killing.
And I was conflicted at the end, because that's how I saw it at the beginning. I was like, well, is it a triumphant thing because he's killed the gay, like, version of himself off? Because he's fighting with a sword. Obviously, it's his dick, but I mean, it's a rigid sword.
Sure.
So it's not his. It's from a different world, not his gay world, but the straight world. And the other guy is fighting with his dick because it's natural and part of him, and he loses. And I was like, well, then is he killing the gay part of himself, and that's what we're supposed to take away from it? But then we get the shot of him actually using the sword throughout the woods. He's now become that, but in kind of maybe a nicer way. I don't know.
He becomes the Buddha.
Yeah.
No, right. I think by wielding that, by them showing that, I don't think that Jacob at the very beginning of the movie would wield a sword. I don't think he showed any sort of aggression except when, again, like somebody insinuated that he was gay.
Well, and there's the thing about it is that his gun that he has as a cop is always left back at work. Right. The guy on the bike, he mentions that he's never actually used his gun. Right. Not him. He means his dick, obviously. Right. And so he's been trying for his whole life to use the wrong weapon or extension of himself and the gun. And by the end of it, he finally gets the weapon that he wants, that he needs, that he actually deserves, which is the gay blade. I'm going to call it. So he does accept himself at the end of it by using the sword instead of the gun.
Sure. And so the samurai in that case, I don't think it's not the gay part of himself. I think it's just like he doesn't need his aggression.
Well,
he doesn't need his anger.
Well, it's the thing is that it is a gay part of himself, because that is part of a lot of coming out is the aggression and the anger. And you do have to kill that off.
Which he totally does, and I think it frees him in a way.
It definitely does.
And so, I want to believe that, and I want to think that that's what the movie's about. But if Jacob is actually a murderer, and he is the samurai, and that is a part of the plot, but it's also a part of the theme, then I think it's something quite different than if we're to believe that he slaughtered an entire town leading up to that.
At that point, it becomes a cautionary tale. As opposed to a triumphant overcoming, it becomes a don't be him.
Don't bottle that up.
Yeah. So I think it's I didn't think this an hour ago, but talking through it now, I guess either way, there's still a positive outlook to the film.
Yeah.
Even if he is killing off the gay part of himself or whatever, or the gay anger of himself or whatever, if the guy's real or not, there's still, at the end of the day, it's saying the exact same thing.
Sure.
Both ways.
Brian, you haven't chimed in yet. Why did you hate the movie?
I just didn't find it interesting. I think there's movies that do it better, like that subject matter better.
Yeah.
Sure, which ones?
Fight Club. Fight Club's one of them.
I do love Fight Club.
Much rather watch Fight Club. Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is more interesting than that movie was.
Okay. I'll agree to a point. However, Nightmare on Elm Street 2 falls apart in that they didn't know that they were actually making a gay film, so at the end of it, he gets saved by the girl and comes out of his burnt Freddy cocoon,
I guess, like,
and goes off with the girl,
but this kind of
implying that he's now straight.
Because he embraces,
and if their samurai were the same, then the girl,
the blonde girl,
wouldn't have died in the car. She would have saved them at the end from the evil samurai.
But he embraces the samurai until he sees the girl burning in the fire, and then that snaps him out of it.
I think the thing about it is that we're focusing on.
I think that's just showing like how destructive that sort of aggression and violence.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, we're looking at this guy as he represents the gay side of him, and that's it. But he doesn't represent that much of him. He's the bottled up like aggression of hating yourself and hating everyone around you because you're gay. And you don't want to come out, so you bottle all up inside. That's the part of him he represents, not the wholeness of being gay. So when he sees the girl, he sees what violence this repression has wrought. And
she was kind. She was the one person
that was genuinely
kind to him.
And he had two roads. He could either accept himself and move on throughout the world and say, fuck, you know, fuck this town, fuck all this, I'm going to be me now. Or he could do what the samurai does and take out the aggression on everyone that he believes hates him. Because he's gay, which isn't an acceptance at all. It's just being violent. So the girl in the fire, it reminded him to rebel against that violent side, not the wholeness of being gay.
Okay, I can see that.
I think. I could be wrong.
I can see that, yeah.
You still hate the movie.
Because whenever I saw that scene too, I looked at it and went, oh, this is going to be a gay is bad film. And I got really depressed for the last 20 minutes. I was like, oh, okay, I guess it's not.
But it's interesting, it feels like it's definitely going to take that turn when he does, you know, after he's chasing the samurai gets away from for a while, and he comes across the girl we're talking about is a motorist who's broken down at the side of the road. You know, she's a very pretty blonde girl who's in need of help, and she gives him a lift back to the town. And there's this great moment where, after they've chatted for a moment, she brings him to where he needs to go. He kisses her. And it's like, oh, okay, what is this? What is...
He's trying.
Yeah, exactly. But then you realize that was entirely in his head, too. In fact, I think that's the first moment in the movie that definitely signals we are, you know, seeing his hallucinations. So.
Right.
But that wasn't the case at all.
Well, and there's also the wolf at the end of it. I mean, he sees the wolf beside the car, and then the wolf is gone. So I mean, he's not seeing everything clearly anyway. And there's the shot. I don't know entirely if it means anything or if it's just a shot, but the wolf walks through the town and walks through like.
So what is the wolf like representing the in this movie?
Freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. I could see that.
I mean.
Oh, I think it's obvious.
I mean, the samurai's killing all these chained up dogs that are kept in a cage, and the wolf is free in the woods.
Yeah.
He's feeding. Jacob is feeding the wolf. Keeping it alive. He's keeping it just on the edge of town because he knows that people aren't okay with a wolf being in the town, just as they're not okay with him being gay. But if he can feed it enough and keep it just on the line of trees where they know it exists, but they don't have to fully come in contact with it, then the wolf can be safe and so can he. But by the end of it, he embraces everything fully and lets the wolf go until he kills the dude.
So is it purely okay, I completely buy that, but is it purely part of the plot then, the notion that by feeding the wolf, you know, we're sort of tipped to the fact that Jacob is kind of a coward? You know, because I don't think the wolf can necessarily represent freedom at that point if it's also like if it's sort of revealing his cowardice at the very beginning.
Well, I
don't know why we're talking about cowardice.
I didn't see it as you'll have to explain that to me. I didn't get the cowardice part.
The fact that, you know, I think even his supervisor sort of notes at the beginning that, you know, if you have a dangerous animal that's lurking out in the woods and it's preying on the animals in the town or whatever, then one assumes that a cop would be forced to deal with
right.
it, killing the animal, hunting it down,
sure,
or running it off or whatever. Instead, he's sort of appeasing it the entire time.
Right, but yeah. also everything that everyone in that town says to him, if they're calling him a coward or a loser, they're saying it. And it's peppered with, you're gay, so that's why you're a wimp.
Yeah, he's not a coward, he's impotent.
Yeah, and that's what he's calling him.
Right, right. His impotence is, it's not cowardice, it's impotence, right? He never carries a gun, right? He's without a phallus until eventually at the end
finds the right one.
The phallus. I don't even know if it matters if it's the right or wrong, but I like the gay blade.
It's the gay blade, not the straight gun.
And he's appeasing the wolf because that is that side of him that he wants to embrace, but he's afraid to embrace it.
And then shows up this dude that fully embraces it in the worst way.
Well, it's just the other side of him.
Anger.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what he secretly, I think, wants to do anyway.
He does.
Which is... But
so
he won't.
So that guy gets to be the beast inside him that takes revenge on the town because the town looks at the cop a certain way.
Right.
Tearing up the exterior of the town. Even not just killing the people, but destroying.
He is.
Like,
yeah. He's destroying.
He's a terrible villain. He's a vandal.
I mean, you know,
he opens canal bridges.
He's disrupting the status quo.
That's right.
Absolutely.
The straight status quo.
Yeah.
No, but as it were, in that case, we
sorry,
can't really
I
consider
hate most straight people.
Easy.
I am the bride.
You are the wolf.
Probably.
Yeah.
So in that case, the wolf and the samurai aren't meant to be, are they flip sides of the same coin when it comes to Jacob, do you think? Is there a choice between the two?
I'm not even sure if there is a wolf.
Yeah.
I think the wolf the whole time is the guy. Jacob is seeing it as a dog, you know, as an actual animal, but I don't think there ever was a wolf.
No.
I think the whole time it's that guy, because that guy's howling at night, things are getting turned over.
He's the one that's eating the bag of food.
Yeah, I mean, it's him. I mean, there is no actual wolf. The wolf is...
The beast.
...is Deer Samurai.
Sure, absolutely, but they are... do they not represent two entirely different things?
No.
No, they... I mean, they both represent freedom. It's just... just different sides of it. I mean, the wolf is the more peaceful, go my own way, run through the woods and live happy. And the guy is more of, I'm going to take revenge because now I'm empowered.
Right.
And now that I know who I am, I'm going to show you who I am through violence.
And then there's that shot whenever he embraces after he's killed the bride that the wolf is just like running amongst the town by itself. Like,
So. Because it can be...
liberated.
Yeah, it can be in the town in peace.
Yeah. While the samurai is bound in the back of a cop car at the exact same time.
Yeah, because that's not the right way to be. Anger's not good. Anger and killing is not good. Regardless of how bad it is, don't ever turn to anger. That's what it is, I think, anyway.
I dig it. I don't know. I really love this movie. Even, I don't know, just... on a very surface level, I enjoy it. Just watching this poor cop racing around haplessly trying to bring down a very striking looking
villain. He's not trying to bring him down, though.
No.
Not at all.
No, because he secretly, because part of him wants
it. Yeah.
Well, okay, tailing him the entire time. I don't think he ever means to apprehend him until...
Until he points out that he's probably gay, and then he lashes out in anger.
Yeah. Right, which is the first time when he is... is it the moment where he's talking about how they might have met in the club?
Yeah, yeah.
When they might have danced with one another, and then like, he tackles him.
They, right. They wrestle around, and then he walks away because he's fully erect.
Yeah.
That is, in fact, true.
It's like Fast and Furious 5.
Handcuffs him to a fence, and he's still, you know, relatively composed. But the moment that the samurai talks about how their little chat got his juices flowing, then he proceeds to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, I don't know, but...
I've seen, and this is not really, it's about it, but it's a bit far, but I've not seen a lot of films about being gay that represent the kind of rage and anger as raw as this one does, because a lot of films about that subject are very sappy, and they get a bit like cry or whatever, but this one was just...
Can you name one or two? Like, for example?
No. I can't think of it on my head. No, I can't think of it on my head. But it's like most gay films that I see. Well, and they're also, I mean, they're not horror films, obviously.
Is this a horror film though?
Is it?
Oh, I think it is.
And that was I think that's what I was thinking the whole time is I wasn't
sure
this was a horror film.
Their samurai counts as a horror flick.
I don't think Detention is a horror movie.
I don't know.
It's the anti horror movie.
I was angry last week about that, man. You guys fucking ghost added me into watching Detention.
But
it worked.
I the horror film thought was my thought throughout a lot of it too. I'm not sure my answer on that. But like the way this movie shows how he goes through finding, you know, dealing with him being gay and the violence around it, it's hard to explain because you guys had never had to like come out. But depending on the community that you're in, you have all of those feelings of wanting to just kill everyone because you're just so angry. And you know that no matter what you do, it's not going to be okay. Eventually it is. I mean, you get over that. You decapitate the wolf head. But I've never seen a film just kind of do it so viscerally. It was really cool.
Okay, so after he decapitates the samurai, and he does have the sword, and he
Dur samurai.
Their samurai. Durr. And he is...
That's his name in the credits.
It really is.
D-E-R. Samurai.
Who, by the way, the actor's actual name, Pitt Bukowski, which is a great fucking name. I
want to see this guy and everything.
But so do you think that anger lasts even through the final frame? Are we meant to think that he is still furious at the end, or is he more in control of it?
I think he's cool by the end.
He wields the penis.
He's doing like the 80s fight scene.
Yeah, I mean, he wields it very well. I think he's going to be fine at the end of it.
It's a Claire Denis film at the end of this.
Huh?
It's a Claire Denis film at the end of this.
I don't know who Claire Denis is.
I haven't seen a single film of hers, but I really want
should,
to.
You should, because she does it better.
Is it she did?
Town.
Was it In My Skin that
she did? She did Beau Travail, which is all about, well, it's about homoeroticism and patriarchy and aggressiveness and violence. But what was that?
I think it just said something in his eye.
Would you?
Eye.
Oh. Yeah.
I've never seen those
films. Did you think I muttered something under my breath?
I don't know what it looked like. It looked like you were talking to your neck like that.
Detention.
Yeah, I hate this.
Fucking Detention.
Dare Detention.
No,
Claire Denis, what else did she do? Because I recognize that name. She didn't do... It was Catherine Brulat, I think, who did Fashion.
She stole all those Dalmatian puppies, right? Is that her? That's the same girl, right?
That's exactly right.
Like, she wanted to make the coats out of them?
Was it In My Skin that she did?
I think... My problem with this movie is see all that, but it doesn't go anywhere. Like, it doesn't take us any, it doesn't teach us anything, or I don't learn anything at that. It just seems very...
Well, maybe you're not meant to, though.
Maybe.
I mean, I think...
Did you have any sort of emotional response? Because I'm wondering,
this film might
be who I am as a viewer then or whatever, but I would be much more interested in watching a movie and having an emotional reaction as opposed to walking out and immediately setting about dissecting it, like I guess I was meant to with Detention,
right,
which left me
right.
ultimately completely cold.
This film affected me emotionally a lot, and maybe it is just meant for only gay people to get. I mean, that's a lame answer. But then Jinx enjoyed it. But see, you seem way more concerned with the plot of it all.
Yeah.
Than I am.
No. I for the sake of this conversation, I always feel like for the last two podcasts, I feel like we sort of leave our listeners in the dust when it comes to discussing the plot.
Sure.
And I'm fairly certain that, I mean, we said never stop the podcast, but I'm pretty sure to enjoy these three podcasts, people are going to need to have seen the movies before
right,
we dive into
right.
it. Because, and so I guess, you know, if I bring the conversation back to the plot, that's why I'm far more concerned, even more so than thematically, like what his concerns are. I love the characters. I love Jacob. I love watching.
How do you love the characters? They're
the thing about it is if I'm looking at this film, like, objectively, not the way it affected me, the characters are paper thin.
They are.
Jacob doesn't have anything interesting about him except that he's gay.
Sure.
And I think the only reason I found him interesting is because I applied myself to him. Because I have a shortcut that I can just, you know, I'm there. So if I was watching it as someone who wasn't terribly interested anyway, like Jacob's not, he's not an interesting guy.
But I don't think you have to be necessarily to latch onto him like this guy who is sort of beaten down and is repressed. I don't think, you know, it is absolutely a movie with gay themes in it, but I don't think you have to be gay to appreciate
that guy. No, but I think it affects you differently if you are gay.
Oh,
and
sure.
It affects you stronger. I mean, I don't think I would be affected by this one the way I am if I wasn't gay.
I can see you being attached to that emotion, but I just don't think the movie then does anything with it other than express that anger.
And maybe that's all it's meant to do.
And is
maybe the film is entirely, well, I mean, I think it is. I mean, it's complete
catharsis.
Because at the end of it, it's over. It's like a release.
Yeah.
Whatever way you want to take that word. But it's a release. And maybe that's all it's meant right. to be is just, it's going to be cool.
Okay, but I think, so, you know, going back to our Nightmare on Elm Street talk, then when we did get around to talking about Part 2, I don't see that Part 2 has any more or less depth than Dear Samurai, but that is a movie that seemed to be universally loved in this room. So what is the difference, Dave and Brian, between this movie and A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2? What does the Freddy flick do differently that made it work for you that this movie didn't?
The Freddy film was subtle about it. Plot-wise, yeah, it was subtle about it. I mean, the visuals, I mean, no, they're not so subtle. But I mean, if you look at it just as a story, it's not hitting you over the head with it. Dear Samurai hits you over the head with it. And that's probably why David enjoyed Nightmare 2 more than this.
I think Nightmare 2 was also interesting in that it took this character that we didn't associate
right.
with that kind of impulse and then
right. that's
used
true.
It to explore that theme. And I thought that was more interesting.
Fair enough. Mm.
I guess as a viewer, I don't want everything just laid out for me. Like, you're too stupid to understand what's going on, so we're just going to hit you over the head with it.
Well, we don't know if that's how he felt about it. I mean,
that's just kind of how I took it.
I get that, yeah. 100%, but I don't know if that's what he felt. And maybe he did. Maybe he just said, I want to make a gay film and make sure nobody misses anything and just does it, which is probably why it is so, like, visceral and violent, because he wanted you to get it and hit you over the head with it, you know. But
and I think he was concerned far more with being visceral than, say, cerebral.
He does
feel like a very personal movie in that regard, I think. I mean,
is he gay?
I think the director? So. If I recall from an interview I read in Rumor 2-3 years ago, I believe so.
I mean, because this is very, I mean, I assumed he was just because of how hitting over the head it was, and that it is about it's not about, like,
the whole hitting over the head, and I mean, it is definitely there on the surface or whatever, but I should point out to the listeners or whatever, at no point does the lead character have a long, rambling, like, expository moment where he says he's gay and nobody
even says the word gay in the film.
No.
Yeah, but I still think that
I'm not saying it's
issue,
not obvious.
Yeah, the issue is very transparent. Like, at the beginning, from the beginning of the movie, when he starts talking about the wolf in the woods, I immediately thought, he's making this up. This is all something that's part of him, because I've kind of seen this transformation before. And then when he sees the guy in the dress, in the house, I immediately thought, this is just the other side of him.
And the house that the guy is in is the last house that he made for his little, like, town model.
Right.
Which, that's interesting. that he's seen that house before.
Sure.
Because that's the house that the guy at the end of it put into it, and it's the only house not burned. So how did Jacob know what the house looked like?
Right.
Because he thought it was that guy's house. And if he had seen it before, he would have known that there was not a crazy transvestite badass living up there.
And we are going back to...
But he didn't think it was his house, right? Because he said he was going to arrest him.
But that was after, because he asked someone what he was doing, and the guy said, "This isn't my house." Jacob didn't know that wasn't his house.
And you guys have noted, plot-wise, it doesn't matter either way. Ultimately. No, it's
way more concerned with theme.
If we are to take it as being, you know, a concrete thing that all of this that happened in the samurai is real, then, you know, we can start to ask questions like, who sent the package? What was the point? Did the guy send the package to be delivered to that house that Jacob's never seen and yet is somehow built?
Who waits that long to open a package?
I would have opened it at the station.
Right.
Like, who sent me a samurai sword? That's kind of cool. Sorry, katana. But I think that if you're looking for answers that way, you're not going
to...
You're not going to find them. It's going to annoy you because at the end of the day, it is more... It's like a really angry gay fable.
Yes. I'll go with that.
And if you're looking for any kind of like concrete plot, you're not going to find it because fables aren't concerned with plot either. It's not what the story's about, but what it's about.
And it does feel like, I mean...
Very nice to say. Yeah.
And it does, you know.
If it was written, one would be in bold.
It does feel like a fairy tale at times. Did you guys find that at all interesting or not? I mean, we have a very storybook village. We have German forests. We have a big bad wolf on the loose. We have grandma's house.
I liked it because it helped me buy into the world where a guy like this might actually exist. If it had been too real and the world was too real, then I don't think there would have been any other way to see it except that it was all fake.
Sure.
But by having it in this really weird... like slightly to the left town
where 10 people live,
right and right
some dogs. I mean,
and everyone knows who they, you know,
then the samurai could exist,
right? Yeah. Because it is fantasy.
I don't know if I dig that.
But
it is fantasy because he runs through the village, the toy village, the same,
yeah,
right?
So. Yeah. That was a cool transition, David. That's all it was.
Yeah, that's where he said, "I'm gonna do that."
Part of me
took me out of the movie.
Part of me thinks the thing about it is it did kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's almost like there are more scenes of him building that town because we only see him do it once, and at the end of it he's running through the actual town, and it's like I wonder if the director had more scenes of him like in the town, and then there would be like a transition.
He just watched
the model town to right, and because that scene, because that one transition is just so out of nowhere that I wonder if there are more scenes where they transition the same way.
Maybe there's some deleted scenes on
there. Might be. There might be.
Let's check.
We didn't get a.
There aren't, are there?
The plastic village scenes.
Nope, no deleted scenes.
Son of a bitch.
How was there was a commentary
French
in the
dubbing
trailer
on this.
I can't read a commentary and read the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
I gotta imagine
how would
that
be?
Would just be
fucked is how it'd be.
I gotta imagine the commentary would just be the only text on screen.
Maybe. Who knows?
Wouldn't it just be somebody talking over?
Do you think the director commentary is just him saying, "This is where I was angry. This is how it feels. And I was angry here."
Probably.
Could be.
I mean, I think that it's I don't know the guy's life, but it seems too like personal not to be based in some kind of fact of his life.
Sure.
I mean, thematically, obviously, he's not a cop running around cutting up people.
We don't know that. We don't know what his life was like before he became a filmmaker.
No, but I think
he was a warrior.
He was a samurai.
But I think that's why it like affected me, because it felt real, and movies about being gay that feel real affect me quite a bit, even if there's no plot.
Cool. I dug the hell out of the film too. I think ultimately you might like it a little bit more than I do, though. I would only give it 8 gremlins.
I enjoyed the hell out of it. I would own it and watch it a couple more times. I really, really, really liked it.
Cool. I'm glad. I'm not the lone man out this week.
The lonely wolf.
Finally.
No, I won Jinx. Somebody over to there's my one side. Other. There's one other gay guy on the podcast with you. It's fine.
Wait a second.
Is this
no.
Jinx is coming out podcast?
It is not. I can be straight and enjoy
text that
gay themed cinema.
I'm sorry, I've already tweeted that.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I knew I was gonna catch some sort of hell for
that is gonna earn you so many listeners.
Well, what you've done now is now I can't pick Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2.
And
that's
you
a
can,
that's a bummer.
We've already talked about it at length.
That's a bummer.
Let's just talk about it again.
I think we talked about it for about 45 minutes on the other podcast anyway, so we just take those sound bites and do a different intro and outro and just smash them together. And it's like we watched it, but they don't know.
Might be pissed.
I mean, they know now.
Yeah, they do.
And you're here, so you'll know.
I know it.
So at least a third of our listeners know.
Kill Bill 3.
Damn it.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I will say, okay, there are no deleted scenes on the Blu-ray. However... Oh, we're all looking at the screen. What happened? What's going on?
I'm noticing my talk is very low versus Seth's, which is very loud.
It's because your levels are down.
Oh, okay.
And you got to be a little closer to the mic.
Closer.
All I want to get is
the Blu-ray has a behind-the-scenes featurette, and I have watched this because they actually go over how one of the my favorite shot in the movie, and one of my favorite shots in horror movies that... the year that this came out, the penultimate shot, I think, when the lead character grabs a samurai sword, races right at the samurai, and in one shot, which appears to be initially the samurai's point of view.
The dick shot?
No, that's the shot before.
Oh. Decapitation.
I thought there was going to be a castration scene.
There's a sword. Yeah. There's an erect German penis. Yeah. It's like... This is a battle of dicks, and one of them's going to win. It's going to be the steel one. It's like, oh no, it's his head. It's fine.
Yeah.
His head, not his head.
They square
not his helmet.
Heal the head.
They square off these two guys. Jacob has the samurai's katana. The samurai has
his penis.
Penis,
which is it's okay.
Their penis.
It's not. It's okay. Their penis is not a bad dick.
It should have been the name of the movie.
I've seen better, but I've seen worse. It's not bad.
It's German.
It's a very German dick. It's a very German dick.
He's a German Ron Jeremy.
I was expecting
like over there,
more.
That's impressive.
I was expecting more. I will say, you built that shot up to me more. I was expecting to see something.
I just said there was an erect penis.
That?
Beware. I didn't build
you
anything
built
up.
That shot
I did
up?
Not build a
he,
damn
he
thing.
He told me there was an erect penis.
This is
so I was waiting for it.
It sure as shit is not.
And you watch him run through the woods. You're like, that guy's got a
are
dick
you,
on him.
Jinx,
but it doesn't.
You,
it's,
are you angry about
he's a,
that?
He's a shower.
Is that what it is?
Not a grower. That was my first thought. And then I saw that dick on screen. And then I had to come back to the movie.
Geez. So, yes, my favorite shot is the point of view shot where Jacob cuts the samurai's head off, which it isn't merely a bloody decapitation. The head rolls off, and presumably we're still seeing everything from the samurai's point of view because the camera spins, but there is this... it's incredible. It's all practical, but smoke shoots out of the
samurai's
blood,
stump. It's blood first. And then
is
it turns
it blood
into,
first?
It's blood first,
smoke,
and then smoke,
sparks.
And then red smoke, and then fireworks.
I love it. I love it so much. I love that
it's
shot.
Wonderful.
Why?
It's triumph. Because it took a lot of work to do, Brian. It's impressive.
Vortex.
Didn't they do that in The Kingsman?
Vortex.
They did it with CGI in The Kingsman.
The
this was practical.
It's only vortex. And fully practical, and I love it.
I also love the music in this film.
I have no idea what that pop song is.
I love all the music in this.
Sure.
It looks great. It sounds great.
It looks
love
great.
It. Love it.
Oh, I thought it was
looks great.
It does look
I
great.
I love the look of this film. I really do.
Yes.
I didn't care
yes.
for it.
No. No shit.
Wait,
nine.
The music?
I can tell.
The music wasn't bad. I enjoyed the music.
I can tell.
I thought you would.
Yeah, I enjoyed the music.
It seemed like your kind of thing.
I can tell you two were out of the movie when at the halfway point you start checking your phones for the time.
Yeah. I didn't know how long the movie
was.
I tried to look up the runtime.
I think that's why I knew I enjoyed it. I didn't look at my phone once during the film.
I didn't either. Dave started texting like a teenager in a movie theater for the final 20 minutes.
Well,
if I catch that again in my screening room, I'm going to flash all of you. It'll be in your eyes, then clang.
Damn it, Dave, you millennial.
Silence is compliance.
Oh, God.
Love
no, we're not. We're not going back to detention again.
Shut up, Lumberjack.
Shut up, white people.
We're not.
Put that phone down.
All right, we're at 50 minutes in. We have pretty much called it at myself and Seth on the samurai's side.
I still have a question.
Please.
Why is this a horror movie?
I would like to take a moment to talk about that because I'm not sure why you see it as a horror film.
Okay.
Beyond the fact that there is a killer.
There's a killer wreaking bloody violence throughout the town.
But there's no horror in it.
Right. Okay, but
there's gore.
Yeah.
For the purposes, but I mean,
if this is a horror movie, Kill Bill is a horror movie.
Because not necessarily. Because even whenever he kills all of those like douchebags, it's like fancy Shaw Brothers shit.
Yeah.
Not like Jason.
It is, but
it's cool.
Are you horrified
by
all horror movies?
Yes.
For the purpose
of
all horror movies.
If it's a horror film,
yeah.
Really. Every slasher movie is truly like...
Those aren't horror films. They're slasher films.
There's come on.
I think there's a difference between the two.
It's a subgenre.
There could be.
Right.
But horror, you have to be afraid of something. I don't know what you are afraid of in this movie.
I think it's just for the purposes of label. Okay, what would you label their samurai as?
Psychological thriller.
There you go. Let's toss that one around.
I don't know what I would call it.
Police procedural.
It's a film.
Crime film.
I don't. I couldn't place this into any. I think horror is
romance?
The easy.
Right. Romance.
Horror, I think, is easy genre to place it in because there is a lot of blood. There's a lot of gore. There's like a murder running around.
Well,
but
I don't think it's the blood and gore and murder running around that makes it horror to me necessarily. I mean, there is a sense of sort of, to me anyway, like this creeping dread. Like,
right. Well, but I mean, there's creeping dread for him, but not for the audience. I don't think.
I didn't feel dread at all.
Really?
I think he is. I mean, there was one moment for a minute where I felt maybe a little, not scared, but like...
When the dog died.
That was tragic.
Why?
You don't do that.
Why did they do that for
him? You don't do that.
When he forced grandma to pick 10 cards.
No. That was just sad. I was like, this guy's an asshole. Why is he doing that to that poor woman? But whenever they're running through the woods the first time.
That I didn't feel any dread at all because the grandmothers, and I do think the movie is intentionally funny at times.
Why is she trying to play cards for?
I do love the look on her face like, four more? Are you sure? Okay.
You make the
Eight
rules.
More?
Eight?
And why is she trusting him?
Because she's got, like, Alzheimer's.
Why is she playing cards if
she
doesn't
know
how to play?
She has no idea what she's doing.
It's really sad.
Yeah, that's
and she
why
only knows 10
she
people.
She keeps asking,
town, so.
You know,
yeah,
what do I do
it's
next?
It's sad.
Yeah. It's a sad film. It's a melodrama.
It's a sad film.
It's a little bit of melodrama.
It's
like also a kung fu
film. It's like Magnolia.
It's like...
I've never seen Magnolia. So your joke... Doesn't work on me.
It's like Steel Magnolias.
I've seen that.
See?
That's not,
I got you now.
To help you there.
Old ladies, I'm with you now.
Yeah.
But no, I wouldn't call it a horror film.
Okay.
I wouldn't. And again, it's, I don't know. I don't really like genres anyway. They're all just movies to me.
I think movies that we discuss on here, I mean, there is...
Sci-fi is the only thing that actually gets, I think, that I can call a movie definitively. That's a sci-fi film.
I think it is definitely...
That.
Because
it's
they're
too
like
hard.
Alien. I could probably do that, but...
I think it is horror movie fan friendly, certainly.
Oh, well, it is. I mean, it's because, I mean, there's a lot of killing in it.
There's heads that pop
Much
off.
Much like Detention. I mean, Detention is not a horror movie, but at the same time...
I don't know what it is.
Definitely wrestles
it's
with
the anti-horror
movie. So therefore,
yeah.
If we
it's
call it horror, I'm okay with that, you know?
But, yeah, I wouldn't call this a horror film.
Okay.
But I don't know what I would call
Ghost
Dad.
You know what I would call a horror film?
Easy.
Ghost Dad.
Yes.
We're not fucking watching Ghost Dad.
Why we didn't see that?
Ghost Dad?
Yeah.
Like, why didn't we see that coming? Or why didn't we watch Ghost Dad? We should have known what Brian was going to say. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't want to just use Ghost Dad as the Trojan horse. Brian to get detention into the viewing.
And yet that's what fucking happened.
I know. Man.
My pick's not a Trojan horse.
What is your pick going to be?
Jeepers Creepers.
Ooh, I'm excited to do Jeepers Creepers.
But you're going to bring Ghost Dad.
That'll be.
I don't own it. I'm not buying it.
That'll. Be
I got
an
bills.
Interesting discussion, I think.
I got bills.
Bill's Cosby.
I have one bill. Its name is Cosby.
But I'm.
Excuse me, Mr. Cosby.
Put a little Rohypnol on that.
Oh, jinx!
Yeah,
that's too soon.
No, it's not.
Too soon.
He's a terrible human.
They were victims.
But
I'm saying, I'm on their side.
He made Ghost Dad.
Then why'd you make it into a joke?
It's okay if you joke about bad people.
See, I can joke. I'm a repressed member of the society. I'm allowed to make those jokes.
You are
can't.
Repressed Bill Cosby.
You're not repressed at all, sir.
You're a straight white man. I don't have to listen to you.
I'm glad somebody acknowledged that. I am straight. Thank you very much. I can enjoy Der Samurai and be straight.
Did you say why Der Samurai was a horror film?
I think we wrestled for a bit.
I landed on I can't call it a horror film, but okay. I don't know what else I can call it besides just calling it a movie.
A fantasy?
Kind of.
It's a
fable.
It's like a psychological fantasy. Yeah.
It's a gay fable.
I landed on because I thought it was horror movie fan friendly. It's kind of fringy. I did think that there was some creeping dread. I know you guys disagree with me, but you dislike the flick. And I'll just go ahead and throw this out there. I found the villain unsettling.
You found it unsettling?
I found him unsettling. I found the villain, like, if you want to call him a villain.
I don't want to call him a villain.
Angst. Angst is unsettling.
I didn't find him unsettling. I found him interesting. He was. He's not an attractive man, but in a weird way, I was attracted to him.
I was not.
He's got that charisma.
No, not in, like, a sexual way.
Jinx,
just,
you protest too much.
He would, but, like, there's just something cool about. I mean, he's I mean, he's hacking up all of these assholes that are giving this guy a hard time. He's
got that cool wolf growl.
And well, he's kind of like, it's, and I think it works with the film, and that's why I felt this way about it, is that I can understand why Jacob would be like tempted to go to his side.
Sure.
Cuz what that man represents is very, it looks very cool.
But I mean, I think he can be.
And there's some kind of attractiveness to it.
Where he is, like, he is charismatic as all hell in a way, but I think he is also sort of unsettling. Like, just his look, the way he always has that sort of leering smile, you know, and grin or whatever. And, like, I dug his performance. I love the way that the guy moved in the movie. He seemed very, I know he's essentially supposed to be a wolf, but there's something, like, snake-like about him almost at times. The way he moves, I think. That's
yeah.
just me.
No, yeah.
Der Snake.
Yeah.
Der Snake. Der Snake.
Der Schnock. You're German, Brian.
They spell snake with a C instead of a K.
And there's there's an umlaut and an O. Schnock. S-N-O, umlaut C.
Say snock again. You sound like Sean Connery.
Schnock.
Juche.
Oh, God.
Money Penner.
All right, so I think we have pretty
I play Bacharach.
You could bring in a Bond film.
No,
I don't own any of them.
Well, Live and Let Die, maybe. But
just because there's voodoo?
Yes.
Voodoo.
It's got voodoo. It's a horror movie.
And the opening scene. Fuck you guys.
No, we're gonna watch the one with the one where Gladys Knight is in the opening. License to Kill. That's what we're going to watch.
No.
Timothy Dalton.
No.
You already said Jeepers Creepers. We're doing Jeepers Creepers. Unless you want to do Jeepers Creepers too.
I think we just do them both.
Do them both, yeah.
Here's the thing. I can talk enough.
Although we're not doing that next week, it should be noted for our listeners that because
don't
next
get your hopes
Friday,
up.
Dave.
Next Friday.
I exactly. I'm thinking, wow. Next week I get a treat.
Next Friday, instead of doing Seth's Choice, which will be next week.
Promise.
Next Friday will be the 13th. Yeah. So we are going to be doing a retrospective talk on the Friday the 13th franchise.
What's your favorite one?
Will be fun. My favorite Friday the 13th? 6.
What's your favorite one, Brian?
X.
That's my favorite one, too.
X is a lot of fun.
X is probably my, like, for just pure enjoyment, it's Jason X.
Yeah. Dave, how about yours?
I have no idea.
Okay. You got to watch them all before next week. Got to go through them, Dave. Come on.
As a kid, it was 6.
See, that's what you make it sound like that. Like, next week, you have to slog through
Manhattan's really fun.
Your
10? It's 10 deep.
it's 10 deep.
11 if you count the remake.
Both hands in.
12 if you count Freddy versus
Jason. We've already talked Freddy versus Jason, though.
Well, that's true.
We can touch on it.
Nope.
For the purposes of the give it a year. I sat through detention. We will, by God, talk about Freddy versus Jason again.
Dear Samurai, whoa-oh.
Okay. Yeah. In any case, gang, whether we talk about Friday the 13th or Jeepers Creepers or whatever the hell, we hope you tune back in next week, and we hope you enjoyed this episode.
It'll be just Jason X.
Dear Samurai. It might be just Jason X. Maybe we'll do that in the screening room right before we come in. That might be.
Do you own it on Blu-ray?
I got them all.
Fuck yeah.
All right.
Let's do that. Let's watch Jason X.
We're going to watch Jason X, and then we're going to do the retrospective talk
on all of them.
Absolutely.
And I'll be silent until we get to Jason X.
All right. That's all we got, gang. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.